I'm Morgan Springer from Next and the New England News Collaborative. In the rural town of Freedom, Maine, population 700, there's a hugely popular restaurant. The Lost Kitchen is the brainchild of owner and chef Erin French and the crew of women who work with her. During normal times, the restaurant is fully booked for the season, months in advance. The New York Times has written about it, so has Martha Stewart Living, and the Magnolia Network has a new TV series on The Lost Kitchen. Erin French grew up in Freedom, Maine, working at her father's diner, and she's written a new memoir called Finding Freedom, A Cook's Story, Remaking a Life from Scratch. It documents her tumultuous path from frying clam baskets at the diner to opening a restaurant that has become a famous destination. Erin joins us to talk about it. Welcome to Next.
Hi, Morgan. Thanks.
So I want to start near the beginning. You didn't go to culinary school or train with, you know, a famous chef. You are self-taught, and you were also taught by your father, who ran a diner. And what was it like for you working in your father's diner as a teenager and young adult?
I'd say probably as a teenager, I was a bit resentful at times. The diner was kind of a frustrating place that I felt that I was just thrown into as part of family life. But I found ways throughout my time there to sort of bring my own enjoyment to it, whether it was adding nasturtiums to lobster rolls or coming up with a nightly special. So I was in a place that sort of felt miserable. I found my own way to make it joyful in my own way. So,
yeah, I mean, you said that you felt resentful at times, and you describe your father in your memoir as volatile and not openly affectionate. And you write that he inflicted emotional trauma. Can you talk a little bit about that relationship between the two of you in general and at the diner?
Well, our relationship was always quite challenging. I look at it now as an adult, and I look at it now as running my own restaurant. And there's part of me that completely understands why he was and is the way that he is and how the restaurant shaped him. And I think that was part of my push to not recreate that same pattern within myself and to become that same person, because it can be a really challenging work environment and a place that can really chew you up and spit you out. And it did that to my dad. It was challenging. And how he dealt with it was through drinking and through just being generally angry and stressed out.
Yeah. How would he teach you to cook?
He really taught me a lot of the basic cooking skills that you would need as a cook, everything from just cooking hamburgers. I mean, I just remember that griddle that was just filled with everything from dozens of hamburgers to steaks to livers on the grill that he would have to be manning and figuring out. You had to watch every single piece of meat that was cooking and make sure that you had your timing. So it taught me a lot about multitasking and intuition and how to cook things just perfectly so, how to dress things just perfectly so. I was learning like all of these just simple cooking skills. So he really taught me a lot of those basics that I've been building upon.
And then you really started cooking more independently after you had your son. You were 21 when you had him. You dropped out of college at Northeastern University in Boston, and your son's biological father was not in the picture. You'd moved back to Freedom, Maine. What inspired you to return to cooking?
Well, I was at a point where everything just felt like I was in complete despair. And cooking was the one thing that I felt like I was okay at. And I felt comfortable in the kitchen. And to feel comfortable in a place when my world felt so uncomfortable was a place that I wanted to keep returning to. And it was the place that sort of took me in and let me practice and feel okay and find a bit of joy. So the kitchen was definitely my comfort zone in a lot of uncomfortable moments in my life.
Did you feel like that food was love? Like food was your dad's way of showing love. Food was, you know, your other relative's way of showing love, and that it was becoming that for you too?
Food was 100% a vessel of love in my life. And there were a lot of moments when my dad couldn't say those words. He wasn't the kind of guy who would come out and give you a hug and tell you that he loved you. but he would make these delicious meals and create these delicious moments. And that for me was just this feeling of a giant hug or saying I love you without actually saying it. I wanted other people to feel those feelings in my life as I started to grow, you know, with, from having a son to relationships and just caring for people. So it's definitely something that's become a major vessel for me that I use to show love.
My guest is Aaron French, the renowned chef and owner of The Lost Kitchen in Freedom, Maine. We're talking about her new memoir, Finding Freedom, A Cook's Story, Remaking a Life from Scratch. So Aaron, you started really sharing your cooking with other people initially through supper clubs. And then you opened the first iteration of The Lost Kitchen in Belfast, Maine, which is a coastal and more touristy town. And you opened it with your husband at the time, and it was a huge success. But behind the scenes, things were unraveling. What was happening?
I had come to a point in my marriage, and this was before the restaurant had even opened. The marriage had always been challenging. It had been something that was ongoing. And when I got into opening that first restaurant, I didn't go into that moment in my life understanding how actually toxic and dead that my marriage was. And so I went into what was a very challenging work schedule, sometimes working 18 hours a day, to having very little emotional support and not a lot of help when it came to me being emotionally well, mentally well, physically well. I wasn't feeding myself. I went into the business struggling with depression about my marriage. I went in with anxiety. So I went in to a challenging work environment already completely stressed. And I've said before, if you want to find out if you have cracks in your relationship, you open a restaurant and you will find out. And for me, that discovery was finding out that we completely imploded.
You mentioned that you entered into the restaurant already, you know, dealing with depression and anxiety. You write about in the book how you started, well, you went to a doctor and you said, you know, these are my symptoms, help me. And you were prescribed all these different drugs. And then you write how you, over time, just leaned more and more heavily on those prescription drugs while you were working in the restaurant for hours and hours. And after that night where you have this confrontation with your husband, you were basically given an ultimatum. Am I getting that right?
I mean, the choice was really, it's like you've got to go to rehab, you've got to go figure things out, or, you know, this is all going to be gone. I'll take your home, I'll take your kid, I'll take the restaurant, everything will go away. You have this choice to make.
So all those things that he basically said he would do, even though you did go to rehab, you lost custody of your son for a period of time, you lost the restaurant, you lost your home. And you write in such like just vulnerable detail about it. And it's pretty heartbreaking to read. And then you have this passage on page 208. And I'm wondering if you could read that for us.
If you've been through a divorce, then you know that it just flat out sucks. There's no way to avoid the shame and the pain that will splinter your life. For me, divorce felt like a scalpel had been run down my chest, exposing my insides for public display so everyone and anyone could see the private tragedy that was ripping my family apart. Our small town gobbled up morsels of gossip surrounding our divorce, depression, mental illness, addiction. The whispers had people I hardly even knew shaking their heads, throwing sideways glances, and indicting me on the street. It was hard just to not stay in bed and hide from the judgment. But I also knew that if I wallowed, I would lose everything. If I stayed in bed, I would prove right all those who doubted me, that I was incapable of finding stability and strength. I had to get out of bed, so I fought like hell to rise.
Now, Aaron, this is just, it's like my nightmare. I also grew up in rural Maine, and the thought of going through these struggles and these hardships and having it on public display, it just like makes my throat tighten. How did you deal with that?
Oof, I mean, it's making me shake a bit inside right now, just thinking it and going back in that moment. And, you know, when I read these passages, when I wrote them, I went back deep into those moments to relive it and recapture it. And it was devastating for a while. You know, freedom, the town of freedom where I grew up, really gave me that escape to just go back to my parents' house and just almost just put my head in the sand out of, you know, complete embarrassment of, I couldn't even go to the co-op. And any time I would even drive close to Belfast, I could just feel my blood pressure rise and I could feel nausea and shaking. And it took a while for me to get through that and have the strength and to be able to stand up and be like, I'm not that person that you think that all of these rumors going around town that were just devastating. Small town, they just love that gossip, and they love a good tumble down too. I had tumbled down real hard, and so I figured out that the only thing that was going to heal that was time. It was really just letting the dust settle and just being in freedom and having that quiet peace and not worrying about it, just staying away until I could feel confident about myself again.
I'm so sorry you had to go through that. And I wonder, you know, was there a part of you that wrote this book for that small town, you know, to tell people like, look, this is my side of the story?
No, I wouldn't say that. I would say that there were two big reasons of why I wrote this story. One was that I realized living through some of it, I hadn't really put it to bed. I hadn't really come to acceptance, true acceptance and true forgiveness for a lot of the moments that happened. And I needed to be able to move forward and to be able to put things to rest and put things to bed and put that chapter away. And so for me, I really approached this as almost a letter to myself to go back and through those moments, because I just pushed through them so hard that I really didn't take the time to actually accept them. The second reason of why I wrote this book was because I came to the understanding that, you know, these struggles are not extremely unique, but what they are is relatable. And I know that in those moments, there were some moments that were so dark and so bleak, and I hated myself so much, and I could not see a way out at some point. And I felt utterly alone, like more alone than I've ever, than you could even imagine. I knew that if I shared these stories, and if you could see the way that I felt then, and you could see that where I've come to now, that for anyone who has battled any of these demons, whether it has been being a single mom, having complete fear, being in a toxic relationship, having addiction, that someone may, if it was just one person who said, you made me feel less alone, you made me have hope, and you made me believe that I could accomplish something greater than I ever thought possible myself, then this book would be worth every vulnerable moment that I ever put into it. I think the big message is that you have to recognize challenging times are the ones that build you. And I look back on those now, and if I had never gone through any of those moments, I would never be exactly where I am right now. Those moments built me. And I believe in those moments now, and I forgive myself for those moments, and I see them as part of who I am, and they gave me strength.
Yeah. How has it felt to have the book out?
It's probably more surreal than I think anything that's happened, even the show. I mean, this has been, just because it's such a personal journey and such a personal story. But there was a moment on the day of release, and I really felt like it was one of the best days of my life. All the ladies here at the Lost Kitchen made this big, beautiful taco and cake lunch, and some of the old employees came out and popped by, and I just felt showered with love and support. And besides that, and the wedding day and the moment I held my son for the first time, it was like the most beautiful moment of my life, and really a feeling of release and relief as well, of just, okay, here it is, it's out there, and it's all for everyone to see and judge, and you can hate me or you can love me, and I'm okay either way. Like, I'm fine.
That's amazing. That's a big statement. You know, like I think we all probably hope we could get there one day.
Yeah, to feel that confidence in yourself. I mean, I've had moments, and this is taken. I was telling my husband this the other night. It's like it's taken all of these moments to get to this point of strength of saying, "Love me, hate me, leave me. I'm okay," in that way. And it's taken every moment, and it's really been this week of arrival for me to feel 100% okay.
Well, Erin, thank you so much for sharing your story and your bravery with us. Erin French is the owner and chef of The Lost Kitchen in Freedom, Maine, and author of the new memoir, Finding Freedom, A Cook's Story, Remaking a Life from Scratch. Erin, it's been so good talking to you. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Morgan.
Listen to Next wherever you get your podcasts or at nextnewengland.org.